Insider is on. News Radio 630 WLAP.
Welcome to the Big Blue Insider, Tuesday edition of our program on what's been kind of a crummy day here in the Bluegrass and down in Hoover, Alabama as well, the site of the SEC baseball tournament. It's been delayed, and I have, as I've mentioned more than once, worked that tournament. It's been a while. Neil Price and I were down there in the aughts doing the tournament for the SEC radio network. We did every inning of every game. It was a grind, but, man, it was a lot of fun. And there were rain delays. It's this part of the country, this time of the year, you know, there's going to be brutal heat. Sometimes it's chilly. We were never chilly down there, but it was either hot or really nice or raining. So that being a multi-team, multi-game tournament, it, of course, has a domino effect on the scheduling. So that works up to the fact that Kentucky is playing tonight. We're just not sure what time. Of course, there's a game going on now, weather permitting. We do pre-record this, and we will try to keep you posted via Twitter. So if you're interested in listening to tonight's game, Darren Hedrick's got the action for you. It was supposed to start between 9 and 10 Eastern time. They're on Central time down there, but just stay close to social media, and you'll be able to find out when. And by the way, it's on the SEC Network if you want to watch it as well. Got two ears. You can listen and watch. So it's just one of those things where they have the entire tournament at one ballpark. Somebody was wondering on Twitter, why do they play all the games at one in one spot? Well, the bottom line is Birmingham is sort of the, well, it is the hub of the SEC, and it's a great facility. It's big. It can handle crowds. It can handle multiple teams. There's an area for teams to go out and practice and warm up nearby at a high school. So when the weather cooperates, it's a good place to have it. And here's the other thing. If there's more than one site, where do you go? I mean, there are other places in Birmingham to play, but now you're talking about transporting teams and fans back and forth from multiple locations. So, you know, it's just, you know, to use a baseball metaphor, it's a curveball that is thrown at this tournament every now and then. So, again, social media is your best friend in a situation like this. We will preview tonight's game for the Wildcats in the tournament with Darren coming up in hour number two. We put him to work pregame, pre-pregame from down there in Hoover, so we will hear from him coming up after the top of the hour. But coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to go a little bit deeper. We're going to go three segments with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach, because there's a lot to talk about, and I wanted to talk about horse racing with Tom, get his take on the Preakness and on whether or not the Preakness in Belmont ought to be moved, because people have sort of revived that argument, saying it's too difficult, it's too tough on the horses, you got to come back too quickly with the Preakness after the Derby, which is a grueling race, and the time leading up to the Derby can be grueling, and then you turn around and you go race a mile and a half at the Belmont. So that's always up for discussion at this time of year. And there are some new twists to that argument as well. Of course, we'll also talk Kentucky football and basketball with Mr. Leach. So you want to stay tuned for that. Also in hour number two, I'm going to share some comments from a podcast that CBS Sports did with Kenny Payne, the new Louisville coach. And he talked about and was asked about what it's going to be like when he has to face John Calipari and face UK. And he also talked about the advice John Calipari gave him when Kenny called him and said, look, man, I'm looking at this Louisville job. So that's coming up in hour number two as well. Some of the headlines going on right now, UK sports. UK's Gabriel Diallo won his opening round match of the individual NCAA tournament last night, beat Baylor's Adrian Boitin in straight sets. So now he's in the round of 32, playing this afternoon against a kid from Virginia. And again, we're pre-recorded, so I can't tell you what's going on. But, of course, Virginia beat Kentucky for the national championship. And what a year the Wildcats have had. One of the biggest reasons was the fact that Liam Draxel had a great year, and he was playing in the singles, but he left in the middle of the third set of his match with an injury, so he is done. So right now, Gabriel Diallo is the only Wildcat still playing. And naturally, he's my favorite Kentucky tennis player. Never met the guy, but with his name, of course, he's my fave. That's about it for UK sports right now. I will tell you, elsewhere in the SEC, this Nick Saban versus Jimbo story, really interesting. Paul Feinbaum went on a radio show down in Alabama, I guess it was this morning or yesterday morning, one of the two. Anyhow, he went on with Cole Kubelik and Greg McElroy and said the backlash against Nick Saban, Feinbaum said, it's eating away at him. He said, I've seen more criticism of Nick Saban in the last 5 days than I have in the last 15 years. He knows whether he admits it was a mistake, it was inarticulate, or an unforced error, and he knows what he did last week in Birmingham blew up on him. You know, when he called Saban a perfectionist, there's no doubt about that. And said, when you are, it drives you crazy. And Saban, like every coach, said, I don't care what people say about me. But Feinbaum said he cares what people say. He cares only because he knows his players are reading it and hearing it. And now here's the rub, my words. He knows, according to Feinbaum, that future recruits are reading and hearing it. That's why he cares. And I don't know Paul Feinbaum. Obviously, I'm familiar with his work. But I got to think he is right on the money, man. Right on the money when it comes to Saban. I've learned this through all my years covering college sports. Everything that is said or done publicly when it comes to coaches and back and forth and that kind of thing, it always comes back to recruiting. How will it affect recruiting? I learned that when I was covering Joe Hall's team. He drove that home, trying to, you know, influence me a little bit about things I said or did. And we had a very good relationship. But when he would get mad at me about something I said or whatever, like I've always talked about, I broke the story that Melvin Turpin said he was coming to Kentucky after a year of prep school. Oh, my gosh. I heard about it from Joe B. and Leonard Hamilton, his assistant, because they were recruiting Ralph Sampson, and they were afraid it would cost them Ralph Sampson. And Leonard said, I'll fix it. And he did. You know, he called Sampson, and they worked through it. And they thought they were getting him, but, of course, Sampson went to Virginia. But, yeah, everything comes back to recruiting. While we're on college athletics, I thought this was interesting. Nebraska, I didn't know this. Nebraska has a tradition, and this is fine. Fans release red balloons after the first touchdown of home games, and that has been suspended because of a global helium shortage. They will not hand out the red balloons. Nebraska will not before the home games. This has been going on since the 60s, evidently, but there's a helium shortage. Why? Because of the war between Russia, well, actually Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Russia is one of the world's top helium suppliers. So they're going to try to figure out something else to do. And I'm sure some people will bring their own balloons, but there will not be an official balloon or balloons officially handed out by the university at its football games. I had no idea they were doing that. I'm not a huge fan of it because, and those helium balloons can really screw things up with animals and the environment, but they've been doing it. And now they got to find something else to do. How weird are the NBA conference finals, specifically the East? The Mavericks are done. I mean, the Warriors are up on them 3-0 now, and game four is tonight. But Miami, Boston, and there are injuries involved and all that, but the Heat wins the first one down in Miami pretty convincingly. Celtics destroy the Heat in Miami in game two. Then Miami comes back, steals the game in Boston, takes a 2-1 lead. And then last night, the Heat minus some key players, including Tyler Hero. Celtics beat the tar out of them, 102-82. So the series shifts back to Miami tomorrow night at 8:30. And again, a lot of Celtics fans in this part of the world, but a lot of Heat fans as well now because of the former Wildcats playing for Pat Riley, the head of that ball club, who himself, as you well know, is a former Wildcat. So keep an eye on that, and we'll keep you posted as well. And in L.A., word is the Lakers, who fired Frank Vogel, made him the scapegoat, unfair, but the scapegoat for a crummy season, interested in Doc Rivers, former coach of the Clippers in L.A. for 7 years, but Sixers like him. They say they like the future with Doc, so keep an eye on that. Tom Leach is next here on 630 WLAP.
Download our free iHeartRadio app and take us with you. Presented by Isaacs and Isaacs Injury Lawyers. WeWin.com. This is News Radio 630 WLAP.
Attention fleet owners. Your vehicles are a traveling advertisement for your business. Keeping them clean and presentable speaks volumes about your business. With winter on its way, protect your investment with Hydrosphere Services, the only call you need to make to keep your fleet looking top-notch. With Hydrosphere, you're getting the best-in-class power washing service with the best-in-class commercial-grade equipment. Visit HydrospheReServices.com and fill out our online service form or call 219-2200. That's 219-2200.
I had no idea buying a big screen meant everybody comes to my house for game night. And what do they bring? Chips. If it weren't for Boone's Butcher Shop, I'd be broke trying to feed them all. All right, let's see. Should I go for the pick five or get a meat bundle? Maybe one of Boone's freezer baskets. So many options. I'm going for the cookout special bundle. Now over to the deli for some cheese, grab some marinade. I love Boone's Butcher Shop. They've got it all.
Boone's Butcher Shop. Top quality meats for less. 100 Old Bloomfield Pike, Bardstown. Online at boonesbutchershop.com.
A lot has changed in our 35 years at the Boots store. But what hasn't changed is our commitment to having a huge selection of quality name brand boots, Western wear, and accessories. And as always, we strive to give you the best fit possible at a fair, competitive price. Whether you need boots for a day on the job or a night on the town, do your feet a favor and come and see us at the Boots store. We're just a few minutes south of Fayette Mall on Nicholasville Road.
Get your boots at the Boots store.
While we may disagree a lot, we do agree Rural King's our favorite place for pets.
Like hats, all the toys and treats and the fun little beds.
I like the dog section, the food, the chewies. Oh, pig ears.
Of course you choose the easy pet.
Right, because your cats are so warm and loyal.
I hope the doghouse is warm tonight.
It's never warm.
Mm-mm. No, it's not. Can I help you?
Yeah, yeah, Rawhide?
Catnip.
Have you been dreaming of a home theater, outdoor entertainment, motorized shades, or simply want to feel more secure in your home? Tom Leach here for Barney Miller's. Let the team of experts at Barney Miller's help design and install a technology solution customized for you and your budget. Take a technology tour of our showroom or visit BarneyMillers.com to get inspired. Barney Miller's, celebrating 100 years downtown.
Available now from iHeart, returning for Season 3, is The Restless Ones, an original podcast presented by T-Mobile for Business and iHeartRadio. Join me as I sit down for in-depth discussions with the people at the intersection of technology and business. You'll learn how each of these leaders is building a bridge to what's next and leveraging transformative technologies like 5G to create a more connected and meaningful future today. Listen to The Restless Ones on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP.
Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider, and as promised on our celebrity hotline, you heard him this morning on the Leach Report. If you liked him once, you'll love him twice. Tom Leach, the voice of the Wildcats, and we will probably cover a little ground that you and I covered this morning, Tom, but probably not, because I need to ask you, first off, about the Preakness Stakes, and I know you watched it, and it's really interesting to me. I was talking about this last night. Some of the follow-up to the race was criticism of Joel Rosario's ride on Epicenter. Some of the experts think that he messed up going into the first turn by not getting clear. And, you know, obviously he was trying to save horse, which I thought he did. But when it came time to hit the gas and he had a clean trip from the stretch, he was too far behind. Did you see it that way? Did you see it that way the first time and then after the fact?
Yeah, well, I was certainly surprised when he was at the back, and he kind of got squeezed a little bit and ended up back at the back. And so Joel just dropped to the rail to try to save ground. He ran into a little traffic issue. You know, early voting looked pretty strong to me. I don't know that he was going to beat him anyway. But there are a couple of thoughts as that played out in the aftermath that I think the criticism of Joel may not be justified. And Leading up to the Derby, one of the, you read so much and hear some, you know, many theories and different things, but one of the pieces I read talked about the majority of the Derby winners are born in February, March. Occasionally you'll see horses born as late as May that actually may not even be a three-year-old when they actually run in the Derby.
Exactly.
For business purposes, I guess you would say, every horse turns to the next age year on January 1st, but they also have actual birthday. Anyway, Risen Star, not Risen Star, but Epicenter, one of the Risen Star was the oldest horse in the race, oldest or second oldest. And the article I was reading was saying that what may happen sometimes in a case like that with Derby horses is that those kind of horses mature a little earlier than some of their rivals who catch up to them.
Sure.
I thought, well, that actually makes sense that that could be the case. So I think it could be a little of that with Epicenter. And also, you could have a horse that they rated him in the Louisiana Derby back off the speed and was very successful. And then he was farther back than ever in the Derby because the pace was so hot. And, you know, maybe it's just kind of he's become a horse that doesn't, you know, have the or doesn't show the early speed that he had earlier. Maybe, you know, he just doesn't have it at the moment. He's kind of been conditioned to run from off the pace, and so he didn't quite have the response. Joel coming out of the gate hit the gas, the response maybe wasn't there like it had been earlier. And if that's the case, I don't know if there was a lot the jockey could do.
I agree, and, you know, people would say, well, it's only 2 weeks or 3 weeks or however many weeks after this race or that race. But you have to understand, and I am by no means an expert, but like you, I've covered the sport for quite a while. At that age, those horses develop so quickly and grow so much, you know, training or no, that's indeed a distinct possibility. So, as I said, I really felt like he was in a great spot, and he nearly took the lead or was close to taking the lead down the stretch. He just didn't have enough horse. And
Early voting, you know, ran a big race. I thought he might be a little distance challenged, and he certainly didn't seem to be. He handled the extra 16th from his previous race just fine, had his best fire speed figure. So, and, you know, he got a great trip. There was a two-pronged reaction to the Derby. Number one, the pace was a lot softer because, you know, jockeys kind of, you know, react and you get criticism or something. You know, next time, I guarantee you, if Joel stays on Epicenter, he'll be firing him from the gate the next time, and it may not work out well, but he'll make that correction the next time.
Yep.
And I think jockeys corrected, you know, for the pace being so fast in the Derby, so it ended up being a little slow, and early voting got a great trip. The other thing that there was a correction that, you know, we saw this after Mind That Bird and Giacomo, and then for years there wasn't a Derby horse above 40-1, no matter how hopeless his chances. And then this year we finally got back up to where there were a few 70 and 80-1, one of which won. And then immediately at the Preakness, the longest price was 18-1, and a horse should have been 88-1.
Yeah, but nobody drew into the Preakness with 5 minutes to spare, so that may have something to do with it.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Throughout horse racing, what do you think about the changing the spacing of the race?
Well, now see, that's exactly what I was going to ask you. I'm a traditionalist, although I was talking to somebody about this the other night.
Heard your John Clay talking about it.
Yeah, with John. Like I told John, you know, I came around on the DH. I've come around on some other things, but I don't know, man. It's supposed to, like John said, it's supposed to be hard, isn't it? And I think that it's getting tougher, but I always think that I go back to two or three Belmonts that could have, by a head, by a nose, by a whisker, would have given us another Triple Crown winner. And if not just a loss by the horse that won the Derby and Preakness, I mean a horse that was coming up to the wire ahead and loses. If those Triple Crowns come through, we're not having this conversation, are we?
Right. Yeah. No, it's probably true. I go back and forth on it.
I do too.
It's wishy-washy, but that I do when I hear the traditionalist argument, and then I hear the Randy Moss of NBC argument, and others like that. Because you know, it, I think it actually could be harder if you change the spacing because you may get bigger fields, sort of like the Preakness.
New shooters.
Could end up being harder. But I wonder, let's say you once you change it, and we saw this back in 1985 with the guy from, New Jersey, Garden State Park, I think, that threw in the big bonus to get Spendabuck and skip the Preakness. Once you start to do that, and now Fox after this year is going to have the contract for the Belmont, what's to stop somebody from saying, let's say Monmouth Park, to come up with, we'll give you a $3 million purse. We want to be the Preakness.
Yeah. We want to be the third jewel. Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't know. That could happen, and it wouldn't surprise me. But you talk about a sport that is steeped in tradition unlike any other, and I firmly believe that's horse racing. So I don't know. The sport has changed.
Debate. I know you did the show for my show, subbed on Oaks Day, and then I had Dick Girardi, who was with you that day. I had it back on Preakness, really good guest, and he thinks there's going to be a more serious discussion than there's been a long time because of NBC losing the Belmont, so they really will want to build up the Preakness since that'll be their last stop on the Triple Crown Trail. But I just wonder if they spaced it out. You know, so many trainers are even, like the Louisiana Derby now is, 5 or 6 weeks out? Is 4 weeks enough to get horses to run back from the Derby?
Oh, there's a ripple effect, no question about that. And looking into the fall, the big race is up in New York as well. So they're going to have to put a lot of thought into this, and obviously they will, but you're right. As you and I talked on your show this morning, television basically dictates all, and I'm not going to bite the hand that fed me for many years, but we do know. And with all of this is in mind, with having as many people as possible see the event, which is fine.
You always agree with me on this. It's not always television. It's like I always say, you can play the games wherever whenever you want. You just have to take less money.
Ooh.
You want to play them play all the games at 2 o'clock. You just have to take less money.
That's
if you're going to demand top dollar. But if I'm on the TV side, I'm like, well, I've got to maximize, if I got to pay you top dollar, I got to maximize where I'm going to place it.
Exactly.
And that's kind of how it happens. So it's not always the TV is kind of the 1A in driving that, I think.
In the entry, that's right. Tom Leach is my guest. We'll come back and talk some football and basketball with the voice of the Wildcats here on the Big Blue Insider, 630 WLAP.
Spectrum Business always delivers fast and reliable internet for less. And now, new Spectrum Business customers get an added bonus. 8 weeks of local TV advertising worth $1,500 for free. So your business gets the best internet and $1,500 of free local TV advertising to bring in new customers. Visit spectrum.com/reach and make the switch today. Spectrum Business. No nonsense. Just business. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
People often ask me, how much money do I have to pay you up front to be my personal lawyer? The answer is nothing. It's free unless we win. What about a slip and fall or car crash case? Free unless we win. We have recovered billions in settlements and verdicts over the years. We have never taken a fee unless we won the case. Our service is free unless we recover for you. You can hire the largest personal injury law firm in the world as your personal lawyer for free unless and until we recover for you.
Morgan & Morgan. Visit ForThePeople.com for an office near you.
When is the last time you took a good look at your house? Actually walked all the way around and looked at the exterior. Mold, dust, weather can drastically change the way your home looks and cause damage. Hydrosphere Services is the first and only call you need to make. Hydrosphere Services are the experts in pressure and power washing, plus they are certified, insured, and trained to give you the best-in-class cleaning services. If you are a home or a business owner, make the call now to Hydrosphere Services. 219-2200. That's 219-2200. Or visit HydrospheresServices.com.
It's a really nice sky for the most part. A partly cloudy sky showing up. Slightest chance for a late evening isolated shower or thunderstorm, and that's a trend that'll take us into the overnight. Temperatures into the upper 50s and low 60s. It's a warmer Wednesday. Mix of sun and clouds, 80 to 85. Threat is there for some scattered thunderstorms. A few of those could be strong into the afternoon and evening. Showers and storms become much more common as we go into Thursday and Friday. We look to clean it up, though, into the start of the holiday weekend. From the WKYT First Alert Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Chris Bailey.
Broadcasting live 24/7 from the Bank of the Bluegrass and Trust Studios, this
is News Radio 630 WLAP, an iHeart radio station.
What's all the buzz about cleaning your nose, nasal hygiene, and Navage? The science is simple. Your nose is the body's air filter for trapping allergens and viruses, but it's not perfect. Like washing your hands and brushing your teeth, it's time to start cleaning your nose, too. Navage uses powered suction to pull saline in one nostril to the back of the nose where most allergens and viruses multiply, then flushes them out the other nostril before they reach your lungs. My name's Martin Hoke, and I didn't invent nasal irrigation. It's been around thousands of years. I did invent Navage to make it easy for everyone. In less than 30 seconds, you can clean your nose. And because it's all natural and drug-free, it's safe to use Navage every single day. Are you ready to join nearly 3 million people who use Navage to breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, and stay healthier? At Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Bed Bath, and Target. Navage. N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
A lot has changed in our 35 years at the boot store, but what hasn't changed is our commitment to having a huge selection of quality name brand boots, Western wear, and accessories. And as always, we strive to give you the best fit possible at a fair competitive price. Whether you need boots for a day on the job or a night on the town, do your feet a favor and come and see us at the boot store. We're just a few minutes south of Fayette Mall on Nicholasville Road.
Get your boots at the boot store.
You're listening to Big Blue Insider with Dick Gabriel on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. We are talking with Tom Leach, the voice of the Wildcats, who, like everybody who has a talk show or a column or a blog, looks for things to talk about in the off season. And Tom, when it comes to Kentucky football, there's been no shortage, thanks to the way too soon lists and surveys and polls and opinion pieces and things like that. And, of course, Will Levis comes to the top of every one of those stories. Why don't we start with Will? And I heard you talking to Freddie Maggard this morning, and Freddie made some great points about the transfer portal and the NIL situations and all. But, boy, the one blog, the one column, and, again, it wasn't a poll because it was one man's opinion, was the piece on CBSSports.com that basically said maybe, just maybe, Will Levis could be the overall number one pick, depending on, and then fill in the blanks. That's manna from heaven for guys like us, isn't it?
It is, and if you're a Kentucky fan, you want to hope he's dead on, because if he is, that would happen because Kentucky had a tremendous season with Will Levis.
And it has to happen. Yeah. You know, I mean,
yeah, if he's the number one pick in the draft, it would be because he had a great year.
Yeah.
And if he has a great year, that gives them a chance to get to Atlanta.
Yeah. And my next door neighbor and I were walking the dogs today and bumped into each other. And we started talking about just that. And he asked me, could he have a shot at the Heisman? Well, Levis, not my neighbor. And I said, yeah, he definitely could, because they're capable of winning 10 games. And we talked about the piece that that Josh Moore wrote for the Herald Leader about Tim Couch and Will Levis. And, you know, as you well know, Tim went to New York and was a finalist. But Kentucky, what did they win that year? 7 games, Tom? You got to win a bunch. And I think if Kentucky wins 10 games, given this new offense, given more passes to the tight ends, to the running backs, I think his completion percentage will be higher. He's got to cut down on the picks, but it puts him, I think, right in the discussion if the voters will do their homework. And we're getting way over ahead of ourselves. But, heck, man, it's summertime.
It is. And Tim had played in an offense where he was going to put up better numbers than Will put up. But Will has better overall talent around him to have the chance to win more games from.
Yes.
And that's what it would take, something, you know, for to get into that. Well, the numbers that, you know, would get him into a buzz, you know, probably, you know, they win down at Florida in week 2, that would help that cause. And, you know, and you know, Will to have a big game, but, you know, big wins, but the big win that would, you know, propel him into that discussion would be beating Georgia November and winning the East. That, you know, you do that, then you know, that's where that kind of discussion takes on more validity.
You know what was I found interesting is that some of the discussion, and not just the guy with CBSSports.com, but But some of the other writers have pointed out, I guess, you know, sifting through the season, looking for things to write about. They've talked about Will and his performance against Georgia down there at Athens, which, of course, as everybody knows, Georgia wins. But it was just an ugly, grinded-out game. And, you know, Kentucky scored the late touchdown, which set it apart from a lot of other teams. I don't remember Will playing all that well, Tom, but the difference is he didn't play badly against the best defense in America. Do you remember it that way?
Yeah, no picks. And I thought he played, you know, a solid game.
Yeah.
You know, there was like the one throw that was a, you know, he put it in the about the only spot he could for Wandale, and it was an incredibly tough catch. If
yeah.
Wandale came up with most of them. He comes up with that when you get that touchdown, you're even a little closer. But you know that those were the, you know, there were a couple of those big, you know, breakthrough opportunities that could have even taken it to a higher performance. But he didn't. You know, so many quarterbacks just got engulfed by that defense.
Yeah.
And he did. He kind of stood tall and kept chucking it and, you know, executed the game plan, didn't make mistakes, gave his team a chance to still be in the game in the fourth quarter. And I think, you know, as people watch, especially, you know, NFL people, they saw a lot to like in that.
And to your point about being surrounded by more talent, and this is not a knock, of course, on Couch's teammates. He had Craig Yeast to begin with, but
I think it's really more the offensive and defensive line.
Exactly,
probably.
And that's where I was going. That defense was handcuffed by a D coordinator who just did a lot of puzzling things back then. He's got guys on the other side of the football who can get him the ball, you know, and can stop the other guys. So that's going to be
and not put him in a position where he has to score 50.
That's correct. You know, he doesn't have a coach who's going to fake a punt on fourth and eight from his own 37-yard line, you know, and sometimes that works, but that team was not built to overcome that. This team is, I think, going to be built. So that's my next question is, minus Josh Pascal and some other players, how good can this defense be in support of Will Levis?
I think they could be good enough. I don't think. Yeah, I think Kentucky's going to be, you know, better on offense than on defense, but not by, you know, a mile. I think the offense is going to be just really good, but I think the defense will be solid. And the question marks are secondary, where you lose a guy like Yusuf Corker on the back end, and you're trying to solidify the cornerback position. And but I think up front. Yeah, I don't know if they have anybody yet on paper that's as good as Pascal or even McCall, but they've got probably two deep at every spot up there, so they can keep rolling fresh legs in. And then their second line looks really good with, you know, Square Jones coming back in the middle and, you know, guys behind them like Wallace, and then you've got Wright and Weaver on the outside. And Weaver's a guy that I think Brad White, I love how creative he is with his teams defensively, and Weaver's going to be to the point, I think, close to where Josh Allen was in terms of versatility. Not maybe as good as Josh, that's a high bar to have to clear, but to be able to be a guy that you could, you know, you could have him rushing the passer on one play and covering a tight end 20 yards down the field on another play. And not a lot of guys can do that, and I think JJ can. So I think that kind of versatility, they've got to find ways to get, you know, him and Wright. You know, when you go nickel, you don't want to always have to take one of those guys out.
Right.
Those are two of your best 11. So how does Brad, you know, work around that? You know, if they were quite fast enough to cover, you'd like to have about five or six of those second line guys, second line of the defense. You know, if you think of Trevin Wallace. You know, play with four down linemen and six linebackers and one safety. If they could just cover fast enough.
Yeah, you're asking a lot, but you brought up Trevin Wallace, who, you know, really, I thought, excelled as a freshman, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do. I got about a minute left in this segment, Tom, but what's been really fascinating to me is the comments Scangarello has made about Brad White going up against the defense that Brad White draws up in practice. That's really encouraging, isn't it?
It is. I think Stoops has tremendous staff right now. They've got everything in place to make a run at what you talked about is what that experience could be like of getting to Atlanta. They've got the caliber of coaches, especially those two coordinators you referenced. They've got the kind of quarterback it takes. They've got the depth, at least, in the O and D line. They've got other playmakers elsewhere. So, you know, even with all that in place, you still got to find a way to get past Georgia and others, but they're lined up to have their best shot at it, yeah. Probably.
Would love to have seen what Mummy's teams could have done with a D coordinator like White or some of the other guys that have come through of late. We're talking to Tom Leese, the voice of the Wildcats. We'll shift to basketball when we come back. Here on the Big Blue Insider, 630 WLAP.
This is what's happening.
This crisis on the border is all because of bad policies by the Biden administration.
Check in 3, 4, 5 times today.
There can be no simple solution with a neighbor like Russia Federation.
This is News Radio 630 WLAP.
Heard of the job? Dial #529 on your cell. #law, that's all.
Hey, it's Shannon the Dude. You know, we're in the most active season of the year right now, but if you're dealing with joint pain, I don't have to tell you, you already know, you can't live life like you want to. Hip pain, knee pain, back pain, shoulder pain, it sucks the fun out of living. But I've got some great news for you. My friends at QC Kinetics are helping people right here in Kentucky get back to their normal life with no surgery, no drugs, and no downtime. I'm talking about regenerative medicine, which is the hottest thing going right now. They basically take growth factors with healing properties from your own body and then put them back into your aching joints. And the patient satisfaction reports have been incredible. This treatment can repair and restore damaged tissue in your joints, giving you real lasting relief from pain and allowing you to get back out there and enjoy life the way you used to. No surgery, no drugs, and no downtime. Call the local medical professionals at 859-534-8600. That's 859-534-8600 for QC Kinetics, 859-534-8600.
Susan, I'm sorry I'm late. Traffic is terrible.
It sure is. But on top of that, gas prices have been skyrocketing. I can't believe how expensive gas has gotten recently.
Prices at the pump are up, but I never pay full price for gas anymore. I just use the free Upside app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back every time I buy gas.
And does that actually add up to anything?
I've made around $200.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code C for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code C for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code C for 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up.
For over 30 years, Northside Family RV has been Kentucky's number one RV dealer. We stock over 300 new and used RVs. Come see America's top brands like Tiffin, Jayco, Keystone, Forest River, Grand Design, and Winnebago. Don't miss out on our model year closeout sale going on now. Come in now and save thousands. Located at the corner of North Broadway and New Circle Road in Lexington, call us at 859-299-8386 or visit online at northsidervs.com. Go Cats!
Hey guys, game's on!
Whether you're cheering on the Wildcats from the stands or from your den...
Go Cats!
Dude, you spilled the nachos.
Kentucky Utilities is there with you, delivering safe and reliable energy you can count on. But power isn't the only thing we provide. With KU, you can take advantage of convenient, time-saving services like our online outage map, paperless billing, and auto pay. So while the Cats' energies go to serving up wins... At KU, our energies go to serving you.
This is the home of the Wildcats. 630 WLAP.
This is the Prep Spotlight, sponsored by Mingy Beef Jerky. In the 11th Region Baseball Tournament, Henry Clay beat Lexington Christian. Lafayette knocked off Great Crossing. Madison Central beat Franklin County. And Sayre beat Berea. So all of them moved to the quarterfinals of the 11th. Henry Clay versus Madison Central. Lafayette takes on Sayre. Those games scheduled for tonight. Girls softball, George Rogers Clark beat Bourbon County. It was Montgomery County over Paris. Scott County beat Henry Clay. Dunbar over Lexington Christian. And Richmond Madison Central beat Madison Southern. Model over Berea over in Nicholasville. East Jessamine beat Bergen. West Jess over Mercer County. That's the Prep Spotlight, sponsored by Mingy Beef Jerky, located in Paris, Kentucky. Kentucky jerky, hand-cut from a solid piece of beef. M-I-N-G-U-A, MingyBeefJerky.com. Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. We're chatting with Tom Leach. He is the voice of the Wildcats. And, of course, he hosts the Leach Report each and every weekday morning right here on this very radio station at 8 a.m. now. If you haven't noticed, the Billy and the Dude come up at 9. So set your alarm a little earlier and listen to Mr. Leach at 8 a.m. Is the earlier hour agreeing with you, sir?
Oh, yeah. I'm always up. Or was always up at that time anyway. So it's a higher value from the radio perspective. It's higher value real estate.
That's true.
Morning drive.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing too. And I figure we probably lost some people from how it fit into their schedule, and we gained some. But thankfully, we're not back in the age when you and I started, where if you didn't hear it live, you didn't hear it. So now you get to find it on podcast.
That's a great point. So much chatter on podcasts and radio shows all year long, of course, about the basketball Wildcats. And the news pops out, and you were talking about it on your show this morning, about a couple of headlines that probably made Kentucky fans sit up straight. Skepticism about Shaedon Sharpe from NBA scouts, unnamed NBA scouts, and Keon Brooks pulling out of the draft picture and heading to somewhere, but probably not Kentucky. Let's start with Shaedon Sharpe. Wasn't that predictable, Tom, that scouts might say, you know, we don't have a whole lot to go on with this guy? It kind of takes you back to the days when they would draft guys out of high school, but this guy hasn't played basketball other than, what, AAU in quite a while.
All the mock draft guys are getting their material from, you know, NBA front office people who may or may not be playing them. And my greatest source is always on all this stuff is Mike.
Yes, Mike Pratt.
And, you know, I know who he knows, and mm-hmm. I know who he talks to, and I know his info is good that he gets. And he's kind of chuckled that, you know, Shaedon going in the top five. He's like, nobody's going to risk their job on that draft pick off what they would have to go on a 6'4.5", 6'5" guard. He looks great against air, but with his, assets that he has, he's going to. They haven't seen him against your quality competition, so there's going to be hesitancy. And Mike has always thought he'd be more toward, 10. On the spectrum of the 5th pick to the 10th pick, he'd be closer to the 10th and possibly could drop even lower, but probably somewhere in there around 8 or 9, somebody will take a shot. But, the way I ended up coming to frame it up was his advisor, I guess it's Dwayne Washington is the guy's name.
Yeah.
Who I don't know, but I mean, I think he's put Shaedon's second contract at greater risk than his first contract would have been by play.
Yes. Fully agree. Couldn't agree more. I've been thinking that all along. And to Mike's point, I'm exactly right there with you. Mike Pratt is a gold mine just because he's pragmatic. He doesn't look through the blue tinted glasses when he looks at a Kentucky player and thinks about the NBA draft, because Mike has worked in the NBA. But I also think about my buddy Stan Norfleet, who worked in the NFL for a couple of years, works in TV and radio now. But he once told me, because he had been in draft rooms, he said, in the NFL, when there are more draft picks, he said, it's better to not be wrong than to be right, which is unfortunate. But when you think about the NBA, you've only got two rounds, buddy. You better get it right. You know what I mean?
One of my favorite stories that Pratt tells, he was with Charlotte, and I think Ed Badger was their coach at the time, and they're in one of those draft meetings, everybody's sitting around the table, and they've got knocks on everybody, or this guy can't do this,
right.
This guy can't do this. Finally, Badger stands up, he says, boys, they won't let us pass. We have to take somebody.
And he's right, so you better be ready. A guy, as we said, who will not be in the draft, maybe will next year, but not this time, is Keon Brooks. And likely will not come back to Kentucky. And I've said all along, Tom, that I'd be surprised if he did come back. I think he wants to go someplace where he is one of the first couple of options in the offense. And that clearly isn't going to be at Kentucky. Although he is, when he's on, he's a good offensive player. But he just doesn't have enough right now to go in and contend for a job in the NBA and to be one of the best players in the world, literally. But I would, and again, you were talking this morning about this with Larry Vaught. Calipari's got options at the four. He's got Collins. He's got Toppin. And I think those are great options, don't you?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, what the upside is for Collins, if they get him stronger, is very exciting. And
yeah.
So you're going to try, understandably, to take advantage of that. And if he can be a starter for you, you're talking about a guy with a basically an 80% free throw shooter who I think can certainly make, mid-range shots, if not eventually threes, and who is incredibly athletic and block shots, all those things he could bring to the mix. So, there's a lot of upside there, and you're going to try every way you can to tap into that. Well, we know Oscar's going to play Oscar's minutes, and so then where do you find a few minutes for the other guys? And if Collins does break out, then he's going to eat up a lot of minutes. And then if you're Keon, you're kind of like, fighting for those scraps there. And I can just understand. I mean, if he comes back, I think, I think he would be welcome back. He's a great young man.
Oh, yeah.
And better player than probably the fans give him credit for.
Yes.
But if you're him, you look at it and think, my minutes may are more likely to shrink than increase. Let me go somewhere else where that won't be the case, and maybe I'll get a chance to show some other skills that maybe I didn't get to showcase in this particular program, and see if I can, increase my standing with the NBA folks. And I think that would be a perfectly understandable path to take.
I got about 2 minutes left, Tom. If John Calipari plays back to his prior form with Patrick Patterson, we're going to see Oscar Tshiebwe out on the floor more, maybe take an occasional three if it works out that way in practice. Because that's what, remember, hey, Patrick's out on the floor helping himself with the NBA. Of course, he had DeMarcus Cousins inside.
Right.
They don't have that option with Oscar. But do you see him giving Oscar that opportunity?
My guess would be you'll see more threes in November and December than you will in February.
That's a good answer.
My guess.
Yeah.
And it would depend how it goes. I mean,
right.
Think PJ. He was like a 20% three-point shooter as a freshman.
Yeah.
And in the 40s, I think,
right,
as a sophomore.
Yeah.
So if he can make them, the more he makes, the more he'll get to shoot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny how that works. And when you think about it, 10, 15 years ago, Oscar and Keon would have been fine for the NBA, at least to take a shot, no pun intended, because it wasn't the three, it was a D league, the defense, but the three wasn't nearly what it is now. And I don't care who you are, DeMarcus Cousins has learned to hit threes, Karl Anthony Towns is a good three-point shooter, so anymore, I don't care how big you are, you've got to be able to knock down that shot. Well, whatever happens this coming season, Tom Lease will call the action, both football and basketball, and we will talk again throughout the summer, sir, on your show and mine. I do appreciate the time. I don't mind getting up early to talk to you and to listen, because I'm walking the dog anyway, so it works out for me.
Good deal. Thank you, sir.
All right, brother. Appreciate that. And we're back in just a minute with hour number two. Coming up, we will talk with Darren Hedrick from down in Hoover, Alabama. That's the site, of course, of the SEC baseball tournament. And I talked about that a little bit earlier today with Tom on his show. And Darren will have pregame coming up. Not entirely sure when. Just depends on when the game that's happening now will conclude. So hang in there if you're a Kentucky baseball fan. They've got it on the SEC Network as well. But you can listen right here on your number one spot for sports. That's all ahead, plus more coming up in hour number two. We're going to hear from Kenny Payne as well, former Kentucky assistant, now the head coach at Louisville, on 630 WLAP.
Big Blue Insider is on News Radio 630 WLAP.
Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. Dick Gabriel with you. It has been weird weather in Kentucky, of course, really over the last week. We were all wearing shorts and sandals last week for a while. When I walked the dog yesterday, man, I was freezing, and it was kind of chilly this morning as well. So naturally, there was bad weather this morning down in Hoover, Alabama, site of the SEC baseball tournament, which means a ripple effect. We still don't know what time Kentucky's going to play tonight. And as we record this, I will tell you that, everything just slides So I worked a game 1 year down there that began literally at midnight Eastern time. But they do everything they can to get these first-round games in. So there's not much time in the schedule built in for weather delays. There's a little bit, but not a lot. So just take a look, keep an eye on social media, and that'll tell you which way to go. Wanted to talk a little bit here in hour number two about Kenny Payne. And he recently was a guest. He's done a lot of media, and I'm hoping to get him on the phone for a few minutes right here for the Big Blue Insider this summer. But he's being pulled, as you well expect, in every direction. But he was on the CBS Sports College Basketball podcast with John Rothstein, who I don't really know him. I've never met the guy, but I do follow him on Twitter, and he does some interesting work. And he talked with Kenny about a number of things, including the fact that Kenny, as we all know, left New York, left the NBA. You know, he left Kentucky for the Knicks, and a lot of UK players ended up in New York, and I'm sure by design. Remember, William Wesley is now the president of the Knicks. Wesley with a great relationship with John Calipari and Kenny Payne. So he goes Kentucky to the NBA, back to college basketball, and he talked to Rothstein about how much he enjoyed having UK guys on the Knicks when he was up there.
You know, I had four kids at one point that I was in their life in college, with Nerlens, Julius, right. Quick, and Kevin Knox. That was, I can't begin to tell you how fun that was to be with them every day.
So now Kenny's a head coach, longtime assistant, of course, for John Calipari, and he had been an assistant coach at Oregon prior to that, but he talked on the podcast about the John Calipari approach when it comes to college players, something that Kenny Payne himself apparently has adopted.
You know, Cal was the first real coach I was around that said, let's not, as coaches, worry about ourselves. Let's put these kids first. Look, what can we do that will make their life easier? What can we do to make their job easier to understand their successes in our hands? And so, and I live by that, because you don't want a kid to fail on your watch. That's an awful feeling. If you're a caring person, the worst thing that could ever happen to you as a coach is a kid not reach his goals. And it's easy to say it's the kid's fault, it's the parents' fault, it's AAU fault. But that's not reality. Reality is the kid is on your watch. You got to do whatever it takes for him to succeed.
I wondered about the conversation between Calipari and Kenny Payne, and I'm not surprised at all that Calipari encouraged him, because he just, it seems like he's that kind of guy, and they have that kind of relationship. And he is the kind of guy, I think Calipari is very loyal, and I think he can separate professional from personal relationships when it comes to UK versus U of L recruiting. I hope it doesn't, but could change things. I've mentioned this before when Patino got here, and a completely different kind, in some ways, of personality from Calipari. Some ways they're very similar, but, you know, Patino's got a little Banny Rooster in him, I think, from growing up in New York. But when he got here, he thought the UK U of L series was kind of quaint, but nothing like those NBA rivalries that they have up east. And then he lost a recruit to Denny Crum, and thought Crum might have broken rules to get Dwayne Morton, and that really changed things. So, and of course, you know, hearing from everybody, you got to beat U of L. But more than anything, I think with Patino, it was the recruiting. But I really believe when they say Kenny Payne taking that job won't affect their relationship. And he talked about the reaction Calipari had when Kenny called him to talk about taking the job.
Cal was probably one of the first people to say, Kenny, it's an unbelievable job.
Yeah.
It has all the things that you just said. It has great tradition. It has great facilities. It's a basketball school. It's your home. Like, you got to seriously consider it, and I hope you take it. for you and for that community. He was one of the first people to do that, to say that to me, which, you know, two things with that. One, it shows he cares about me, but he also cares about the state of Kentucky and the basketball, not just in Kentucky, the University of Kentucky, but also, does it really look right if Louisville's down and Kentucky's up?
Mm-hmm.
How does it look when both of us are having a lot of success and it creates a buzz throughout the state? And to have that foresight to see it and recognize it just goes to show that, and not just him, the president of the university, Mitch Barnhart, they all were very supportive and reached out and you know, endorsed it.
And that said, Payne assured listeners, fans from both ends of I-64, for whatever it's worth to you, that his taking the job at U of L will not affect his relationship with Calipari and the Big Blue Nation, at least with the exception of one day out of the year.
It won't be the negative hatred for John Calipari for me.
Right.
It'll be a game that I'm going to try to do everything in my power to help my team win, and he's going to do the same. And I hope I win by one, but we'll see how that goes, and regardless of what happens, we're going to give it our best shot.
Kenny Payne, courtesy of the John Rothstein Podcast via CBS Sports Network, and we are back in just a minute here on the Big Blue Insider, 630 WLAP.
For more information about contests on this station, go to WLAP.com.
Shamrock Bar and Grill on Pageant Drive has always been your home for good food, great times, cold beer, and the biggest games on TV. But did you know you can bring that world-famous Shamrock atmosphere to your home? Shamrock is now delivery. Food, growlers, and six-packs to your door. Find our full menu at shamrockky.com or call our Pageant Drive location at 269-7621. Call them up tonight for delivery. You can also have Shamrock's food delivered by Uber Eats.
Hey guys, game's on!
Whether you're cheering on the Wildcats from the stands or from your den...
Go Cats!
Dude, you spilled the nachos.
Kentucky Utilities is there with you, delivering safe and reliable energy you can count on. But power isn't the only thing we provide. With KU, you can take advantage of convenient, time-saving services like our online outage map, paperless billing, and auto pay. So while the cat's energies go to serving up wins, at KU, our energies go to serving you.
A lot has changed in our 35 years at the Boot Store. But what hasn't changed is our commitment to having a huge selection of quality name brand boots, Western wear, and accessories. And as always, we strive to give you the best fit possible at a fair, competitive price. Whether you need boots for a day on the job or a night on the town, do your feet a favor and come and see us at the Boot Store. We're just a few minutes south of Fayette Mall on Nicholasville Road.
Get your boots at the Boot Store.
Have you been dreaming of a home theater, outdoor entertainment, motorized shades, or simply want to feel more secure in your home? Tom Leach here for Barney Miller's. Let the team of experts at Barney Miller's help design and install a technology solution customized for you and your budget. Take a technology tour of our showroom or visit BarneyMillers.com to get inspired. Barney Miller's. Celebrating 100 years downtown.
Got bugs in your house? Call IPM. This is Matt Schaefer with IPM Pest and Termite. If you don't like pests in your home, we recommend our exterior quarterly maintenance service. We come out, treat the exterior, and keep the pest out before they have a chance to get in. We have technicians that are certified that you can trust and would be comfortable to have in your home. You can always find out more by going to myipm.com. Call us at 271-8852.
Memorial Day weekend marked the unofficial start of summer. And the free iHeart app is your soundtrack for the long weekend. Whether you're headed to the beach with friends, barbecuing in with family, or doing some serious retail therapy, turn up the summer vibes with songs of summer radio totally commercial-free. Turn back time with playlists like iHeart 90s and iHeart 80s, or slip into a summer podcast binge while you soak up the sun. The soundtrack for your summer is playing now on the free iHeart app. Discover music, radio, and podcasts you love.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP.
Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. Coming up, Darren Hedrick's going to talk UK baseball with us, and of course he'll have the action as the Wildcats open play in the SEC tournament down in Hoover against Auburn. But again, we pre-record. Wish I could help you more with the weather delays and what's going on down there. But again, just stay close to social media and UKAthletics.com, and you'll be able to figure out what's going on so you can listen and watch the Wildcats in the SEC tournament. I need to shift you back to Kentucky basketball. You may have heard Tom Leach talk about this morning, but a really interesting twist on the Shaedon Sharpe story now with all the mock drafts coming out. And anonymous scouts have been talking about Sharpe and the fact that they're concerned about the fact that this guy hasn't played much. And, you know, if you're a scout, it's your job to go to your bosses, obviously, and say, this is the guy I think we should hire or draft. Or at the very least, here's a guy who belongs on our board. He belongs in our mix. And there are some tweets out there. One scout said he has all the tools, but he hasn't played, and that scares me. I'm not a big fan of pro days. Another scout said he barely practiced at Kentucky, didn't want to play in games, didn't want to play at a combine. Who's advising him? He can't hide forever. Does he want to play in a summer league? And he noted that the frustration was more about Sharpe's advisors, not Shaedon. I don't know that Shaedon didn't practice much. I never heard that. Another scout said, I wouldn't take him in the top 10. It's too small of a sample size. Someone's going to get burned. That's where they are on Shaedon Sharpe. And again, Tom Leach, talking to us earlier in the show, talked about Mike Pratt. Our man Pratt, color analyst, NBA experience, and plugged in with everybody. And he's been talking to people, and it's all over the league. What are you going to do? Do you take a risk? Do you gamble a pick, a top five pick, on a guy who hasn't played? He's not 6'6". We know that. Just don't know what else he can do on the NBA level. So maybe he does come back. Who knows? If he doesn't, hear what he wants to hear, and if he wants to be a top five pick or the number one pick, maybe it's not so far-fetched that he comes back to Kentucky. I think it's a long shot still, but it might not be as far-fetched as we think. Speaking of coming back, Colin Goodfellow will come back. He tweeted, second time's a charm, let's ride. So he pulled himself out of the portal, and now Kentucky has an experienced SEC punter on the roster. Will he win the job again? Well, if he punts in camp the way he did last year, yeah, he'll hold off Wilson Berry and whoever else is trying to win that job. You know, Berry's the guy from Australia, but he was injured last year, opened the door for Goodfellow, and he had a good season. Colin did. Not entirely sure why he put his name in the portal. I don't know. Maybe he's trying to find some place where he can get scholarship money or more scholarship money. I don't know. I doubt if it's an NIL thing, but I'm not entirely certain if he was a walk-on or what, but he's back at any rate. And by the way, speaking of social media, I retweeted this the other day. And my only words were, I can't like this enough. And it was originally posted by a woman named Julie Kidd Bird, whose Twitter handle is UKBluebell93, calls herself a Navy spouse, a mom, a UK alum, and a fan of many other things, but apparently a teacher. And she said, I'm packing up my classroom today, last day of school. First thing I've done each morning this school year is recite these words, and pray, an impactful reminder by a courageous man, quote, and she posted a picture of these words. Work hard, do your best, love your people, Coach Schlarman. How about that? So I retweeted her tweet and with my little message and just got countless retweets of my own. But the credit goes to Julie Kidd Bird. And, of course, to John Schlarman. No surprise. You miss that guy. And I didn't play for him, but covered his career as a player and a coach. Did you see that on a different, a terrible transition, but we go from John Schlarman to this. Did you see the video of the United Airlines worker fighting with a customer, literally a fist fight? It turned out the guy that was the employee comes out from behind the counter and fights with a customer who turned out is a former NFL player. A guy named Brendan Langley, who played 3 years in the NFL, came out of the University of Georgia and now plays in the Canadian League. They got into it, and according to the story, and I saw the video, the United employee allegedly slapped him across the face, and then they fight, and Langley put him down. Langley clocked him. The United employee has been fired. The Calgary Stampeders, Langley's team, looking into it, of course. I think they've suspended him for the time being. Evidently, the fight is believed to have been done when Langley used a wheelchair to transport his luggage instead of a luggage cart that cost $5. And it escalated from there. But United says the company doesn't tolerate violence of any kind at our airports or on board our planes, working with local authorities to further investigate this matter. I don't think Calgary's suspending him, but they are investigating the player. But it says here the United employee slapped him and then came out from behind the counter. So that did not, that escalated badly, did it not? I want to direct you to a column on Yahoo Sports about makeup calls. And the headline is, Do Makeup Calls Exist? It's written by a guy named Henry Bushnell. Don't know him. Honestly, never heard of him. But he writes about makeup calls. And, of course, fans always talk about him. And this is something that drives me nuts because I officiated baseball and other sports for about 10 years. Never beyond, you know, adult league, little league, college, intramurals, that kind of thing. But I've always hated it when people, you know, lean back and very knowingly, well, that's a makeup call. You know that's a makeup call. But this guy talked to a former NBA referee and college referees, and they said it's absolute BS, buffoonery, a myth, and a non-issue. And he talked to the NCAA's coordinator of women's basketball officiating, who basically said, I don't want to talk about it because it's not even relevant. Now, you can roll your eyes about this, and there's been a lot of research done. In fact, they looked at top-flight German soccer leagues. They looked at more than a million NBA possessions from 06 to 2011. And I'll tell you what they came up with in just a minute. But I will tell you that from my experience, there's no such thing consciously, but I've said it many, many times. You could be working a game and you could make a call. If you got boos and criticism raining down on you, the next time you make a call that calms the crowd that's yelling at you, I will tell you, then in the stand, go, oh, it's a makeup call. But inside, you're thinking, oh, man, thank goodness I got them off my back. But I personally never made a call like, oh, man, I got to make up for this. I'm going to hose the other team a little bit just to get this team off my back. And that's what they found. Now, they did find that frequency of fouls of different violations can increase significantly on possessions after those same calls have been made against the other team. You call this guy for traveling, you might call that guy for traveling. But after copious amounts of research, they found it's not conscious. It's subconscious. And you might follow John Adams, the former NCAA men's basketball officiating coordinator. And he says every referee is human. Many referees want to be seen as impartial. Humans want to be liked, not hated. But some might actually overcompensate and over-scrutinize one team after a questionable call against the other. The best officials, though, are the ones they don't. And in the NBA, the coordinators and the observers, they keep a close eye on that kind of thing. And if they believe that a referee is trying to make makeup calls, they fire him right away. And I know a lot of you probably listening are rolling your eyes. Yeah, sure. Yeah, right. Especially if you've never done it. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't criticize. Just because you've never done it, that doesn't give you a right to criticism. I don't believe that at all. But be aware. You know, boo with knowledge. Know that for the most part, and I'm not saying that everybody out there is perfect, but at the highest level, which is what we all see on TV and the NBA and the college games, games you attend, they're not out there trying to even things out. But subconsciously, yeah, there may be things going through their mind, through their subconscious. But I direct you again, just Google it. Google makeup calls in Yahoo and read it for yourself. One of the passages includes this. Economists, psychologists, and even some refs have postulated that they're byproducts of subconscious instincts, innate tendencies that may lead referees, perhaps influenced by furious players and frenzied crowds, to give more marginal calls to a previously aggrieved team, as I said. And by the way, media, not immune. I've heard broadcasters say that kind of thing. Well, that's clearly a makeup call. And when I hear that, I immediately say to myself, this guy's a clown, and you should too. In my humble opinion. So again, just Google it, Yahoo Sports makeup calls, see what you think. We're back in a minute with Darren Hedrick on 630 WLAP.
Americans don't trust big media. That's why millions have made the switch and watch Newsmax. They even use the free Newsmax app on their phones. They watch the Newsmax team with Rob Finnerty, Eric Bolling, Diamond and Silk, Huckabee, Rob Schmidt, and more. Newsmax is on all major cable systems. If your system doesn't carry it, call them and demand Newsmax. More than 20 million Americans have made the switch to Newsmax. Make the switch today. You won't go back.
School's out for summer, but if your business is running QuickBooks, you'll never get a break. Their manual processes and delays will leave you scrambling. Graduate to NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. No matter how big your business grows, with NetSuite, you gain visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, e-commerce, and more, just like 93% of surveyed businesses who already graduated. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program. Head to netsuite.com/improve.
We all know the importance of nutrition and diet for a healthy lifestyle. We also know that dairy foods deliver great nutrition and value. That's reason enough why Kentucky families choose prairie-owned Prairie Farms dairy products. Like our two complete lines of delightful, creamy Prairie Farms yogurt flavors, fat-free or low-fat, both fit neatly under 100 calories per serving. Farm-fresh quality from our family to yours. Farmer-owned Prairie Farms.
It's a really nice sky for the most part. A partly cloudy sky showing up. Slightest chance for a late evening isolated shower or thunderstorm, and that's a trend that'll take us into the overnight. Temperatures into the upper 50s and low 60s. It's a warmer Wednesday. Mix of sun and clouds, 80 to 85. Threat is there for some scattered thunderstorms. A few of those could be strong into the afternoon and evening. Showers and storms become much more common as we go into Thursday and Friday. We look to clean it up, though, into the start of the holiday weekend. From the WKYT First Alert Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Chris Bailey.
Broadcasting live 24-7 from the Bank of the Bluegrass and Trust Studios, this is News Radio 630 WLAP, an iHeart radio station.
When your air conditioning is on the fritz, it's hard to know who to call. You want the speed of the big guys, but the personal trustworthy touch of a small company. Trust the Titan. Titan Heating and Air is available 24-7 with stellar service to get your HVAC system up and running. Titan Heating and Air is locally owned and family operated. When you don't know who to call, just call Titan. Visit justcalltitan.com. That's justcalltitan.com. Titan Heating and Air. Big enough to be there, small enough to still care.
For over 30 years, Northside Family RV has been Kentucky's number one RV dealer. We stock over 300 new and used RVs. Come see America's top brands like Tiffin, Jayco, Keystone, Forest River, Grand Design, and Winnebago. Don't miss out on our model year closeout sale going on now. Come in now and save thousands. Located at the corner of North Broadway and New Circle Road in Lexington, call us at 859-299-8386 or visit online at northsiderv's.com. Go Cats!
For the health and safety of everyone, people are staying in their homes now more than ever before. It's also important that the air inside our home is as clean and pure as possible. The professionals at Atmosphere Air Quality are here for you. Whether it's duct cleaning to combat allergies, AC coil cleaning, even carpet cleaning and deodorizing, residential or commercial, call them today to set up a free video inspection of your air ducts. 388-4424. 388-4424. Atmosphere Air Quality, the experts.
You're listening to Big Blue Insider with Dick Gabriel on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. And as we have been talking really since over the weekend, the Wildcats open SEC tournament play tonight against the Auburn Tigers. You will hear that game right here on 630 WLAP. And we have decided to get a pregame look, an expanded pregame approach from our play-by-play man, Darren Hedrick. He'll have pregame for you. We're not quite sure when, Darren, tonight, but that's the way tournaments are, right?
That's exactly right. As a matter of fact, yesterday I talked with our network manager. We were trying to get all this planned out because of so many unknowns, right?
Yep.
You've got weather that's a factor and everything, so the simple way, folks, is 15 minutes before first pitch, and we'll let you know when that is.
Yeah.
So we'll be on the air at some point this evening.
Well, keep an eye on social media. You know, we'll be able to get it out there as quickly as possible. You worked this tournament last year. How many times have you worked? How many times have you been to that ballpark? And did your days in minor league baseball doing radio take you there?
So this will be my third SEC tournament. And I'm hoping to finally get a win in this event. I'm hoping the good luck from the women's team in Nashville this year carries over for baseball this year at Hoover. But I love this ballpark. It's an amazing facility. The money that the SEC has put into it, because it was an aging monstrosity of a ballpark when the Birmingham Barons were there. I never got to see the Smokies play the Barons in that park because they were building the new Regions place. But yeah, it's an amazing ballpark with the money they put into it. It plays big, very similar to Omaha. And for my money, outside of the World Series itself there in Omaha, this is the best tournament you can go to.
I fully agree. And as you know, Neil Price and I worked that event 2 or 3 years for SEC Radio. And back then, Darren, there was a little bit of chatter about, well, because as you said, it was aging and a little tired, the facility. Maybe we should rotate the tournament. Maybe we should put it here or there, one of these newer facilities. Man, the community around that area in Hoover, outside of Birmingham, really throughout the SEC, rose up. They're not going to give that up.
No, they're not. And I still hear that idea of rotating the tournament outside of Birmingham. And old politicians used to say, I'm against it.
I don't
want to see this leave Hoover. You know, if you look at other minor league ballparks, I might have sold on it, but I saw one idea floated on Twitter about the Texas Rangers and their new ballpark. They want the SEC tournament now that A&M and Texas are going to be in the league. And I'm sitting there thinking, that's the worst idea you could have. Even though a major league stadium would be nice, it's cavernous. And it would be hard for South Carolina and these other schools to travel all the way out there. Birmingham is the perfect center point. The stadium is the right size. It's a good city. Don't mess with a good thing.
No, and Birmingham is centrally located. It's a bit of a grind of a haul from Lexington, but, it's a haul for practically anywhere unless you're in the state of Alabama. You're not going to find a perfect place. And I lived in Texas, as you know, for a couple of years. Was a Rangers fan then. I'm all about that, but I don't want to see this event move down there. I don't want to see it rotated. Yeah. I'm like you. You know the biggest reason? I don't care about the facility, although they've got to make it a nice, playable place, and it is now. I just think the way the community has supported it and the way the conference fans have supported it, they deserve to keep it there.
I totally agree with you. I mean, think about all the magical moments we've seen. Just aside from the walk-offs and the underdogs coming from nowhere to win championships, the fan interactions. The first image of my mind when I think of the SEC baseball tournament is the rain delays that caused LSU, and I think it might have been A&M, to play at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And those fans that had been there all day partaking of beverages, let's say, are doing the conga around the concourse, and it stretches from one end to the other, and it just snakes along, and they're doing this while there's a game going on. Yeah. You're not going to get that anywhere else.
Yeah, you're right. I will say this, that, and I've told this story before, but quickly, the reason the pitch clock exists in the Southeastern Conference in baseball is because one of those years that Neil and I were down there, they had weather delays, and the days were stretching out way too long, and Kentucky played Ole Miss one night at midnight. At midnight, yep. Eastern time. And it was ridiculous, and Mike Slive pulled the coaches together, put them in a room, and said, figure it out. So what they did was they did away with pregame infield, pregame practice. The coaches came up with the pitch clock. They did everything they could to streamline it. But that's the ownership that they take in this event, which is great. But, yeah, it can be some long days, especially. And like Kentucky has got the late game tonight, but kids adjust, right?
That's right. You know, they'll let them sleep in and stay in that cool air-conditioned hotel room, yeah. And they have a nice hotel in Birmingham there, the suite. So, you know, they'll take them out to a local high school or a local college area and let them practice and
sure.
Get them ready and then take them back. So, yeah, they'll stretch it out and be ready, and these guys will be anxious to go. It's amazing to think about the amount of first time for a lot of these guys in the SEC tournament.
Yeah.
It's such a veteran team, but there are so many guys that are going to experience this for the first time, and I think they'll be ready to go.
Well, we've talked all year about the guys who came through the portal, you know, and unfortunately mm-hmm. Darren Williams, who was becoming, as you know, such a vital part of this team as a starting pitcher, was so excited to come to the SEC and try to help his team get to the SEC tournament, and now he's out with arm problems, but he's still part of the team, and he'll be around it. But there is so much turnover, people don't really grasp that when it comes to college baseball. I remember last year when a lot of guys entered the portal for Kentucky, and you and I talked about this before, everybody was going nuts. They were panicking. Look at all the guys leaving. They had more guys leave Mississippi State, which was the defending mm-hmm. national champion. So, yeah, a lot of new faces on this ball club. I think, too, Darren, that, and you've seen it already, when they walk into that place and get a look at just how cavernous it is, you're going to see some eyeballs popping, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. And you're right. This place is cavernous. It goes up forever when you look at the seating bowl because of the massive press box and the overhead awning that's there to protect fans from the sun in the summertime heat. And then the outfield is just so large. The gaps are huge. You know, Kentucky needs to go into this thing not thinking about home runs. They need to be thinking about creative ways of scoring. And that's probably good with the way this team has played the last two or three weeks.
Yeah.
We've seen better situational hitting in big spots from this team in the last couple of weeks.
Center field is only, and I say only, 405. So it's almost the same as Kentucky Proud. But down the lines, it's 340. And in the alleys, it's 385. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's hard to get out of, especially at night. And I will tell you a quick story. In 06, when the Kentucky SEC title team that had a lot of power hitters on that roster came in, John Cohen and the coaching staff, they all said, do not go up to the plate thinking home run. Just don't do it. It's not going to work.
Right.
And the players all said, yes, sir, coach. Then they lost in two games. They lost their two doubly limb games and later admitted to us, yeah, we were trying to hit home runs. It just doesn't work there. If you've hit a home run, brother, you've earned it.
No doubt about it. And the best way to hit a home run in that ballpark is to hit them down the line.
Yeah.
Even though it's 340, don't try to hit them. Just the best strategy is to think middle and try to find those gaps.
Yep.
Because the ball goes forever if you hit it in the gap.
I'm talking with Darren Hedrick, radio voice of the Baseball Wildcats, who open up SEC tournament play a little bit later tonight with the Auburn Tigers down in Hoover, Alabama. And we're back in just a minute here on 630 WLAP.
From over there,
all around the world,
to over here.
After all, this is America.
The information you want.
Extremely important.
The information you need.
Gas prices. Baby formula.
Inflation.
In the Biden economy.
News Radio 630 WLAP.
When you want the best, Neil Huffman has it. NeilHuffman.com.
I'm attorney Darrow Isaacs, the Hammer, founder of Isaacs & Isaacs Personal Injury Lawyers. If a car wreck has left you with a concussion or memory loss, you could be suffering from a traumatic brain injury. I know what you're going through. We'll fight to get you the money you deserve. Go to wewin.com. That's wewin.com.
Ready for your home to reflect your personal style? Trust the experts at Boone Contracting. They provide a personalized experience for every project, from remodeling to new design build construction. Learn more at BooneContractingKY.com and follow them on social media. Boone Contracting, a white-collar approach to a blue-collar trade.
When your air conditioning is on the fritz, it's hard to know who to call. You want the speed of the big guys, but the personal trustworthy touch of a small company. Trust the Titan. Titan Heating and Air is available 24/7 with stellar service to get your HVAC system up and running. Titan Heating and Air is locally owned and family operated. When you don't know who to call, just call Titan. Visit JustCallTitan.com. That's JustCallTitan.com. Titan Heating and Air. Big enough to be there, small enough to still care.
Got bugs in your house? Call IPM. We specialize in keeping your home safe. IPM Pest and Termite has a 5.0 on Google reviews, an Angie's List Super Service Award for the past 7 years, and a member of the BBB. This is Matt Schaefer with IPM Pest and Termite. Mention this ad and receive a discount on your pest maintenance service. You can always find out more by going to myipm.com. Call us at 271-8852.
Shamrock Bar and Grill on Heartland Parkway has always been your home for good food, great times, cold beer, and the biggest games on TV. But did you know you can bring that world-famous Shamrock atmosphere to your home? Shamrock is now delivering food, growlers, and six-packs to your door. Find our full menu at shamrockky.com or call their Heartland Parkway location at 245-9504. Call them up tonight for delivery. You can also have Shamrock's food delivered by Uber Eats.
Hey guys, game's on!
Whether you're cheering on the Wildcats from the stands or from your den...
Go Cats!
Dude, you spilled the nachos.
Kentucky Utilities is there with you, delivering safe and reliable energy you can count on. But power isn't the only thing we provide. With KU, you can take advantage of convenient, time-saving services like our online outage map, paperless billing, and auto pay. So while the cat's energies go to serving up wins, at KU, our energies go to serving you.
School's out for summer, but if your business is running QuickBooks, you'll never get a break. Their manual processes and delays will leave you scrambling. Graduate to NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. No matter how big your business grows, with NetSuite, you gain visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, e-commerce, and more, just like 93% of surveyed businesses who already graduated. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program. Head to netsuite.com/improve.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP.
It's the Big Blue Insider here on 630 WLAP, 457-4471. 457-4471. You can tweet us at Big Blue Insider 1 or email us BigBlueInsider630@gmail.com. Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. Final segment of our program. We're talking with Darren Hedrick, radio voice of the baseball Wildcats, getting ready to begin their first, they hope, of several SEC tournament games down in Hoover, Alabama. I was talking to Keith Madison on last night's show about the fact that when Kentucky had to have great performances, the Wildcats came through against Tennessee, against Auburn. You've seen this team just about every step of the way this season. And you and Doug and Keith and I all talk about it can be maddening, but at times they've played great baseball. When this team's going right, what are you seeing?
When this team is going right, obviously the defense is playing exceptional, and it all starts with Ryan Ritter at shortstop, and it carries on from there. But offensively, it's a team that's playing within itself. They're being patient. They're looking for their pitch. We saw that against Auburn in the two victories. They were very selective in how they attacked a pitcher. And, the sinker ball guy, Joseph Gonzalez, on Sunday had success, but Kentucky put some good licks on that sinker ball. They just didn't get anything to show for it, which happens. It's baseball. But, they had really good situational hitting. We saw them lay down a bunt to score a run. Yep. We saw home runs. We've seen the gap shot. And Plastiak had one of the biggest at-bats of the weekend, and I was so excited to see that for him because of the struggles he's been through, going backside to score a couple of runs with a base hit to left instead of trying to pull the ball. When this team's not going well, the swings get long. They're trying to hit 600-foot home runs, but when they shorten up, when they have good approaches, this is a tough lineup, and they could score runs. And then what can you say about the job the pitching staff's done the last month, really, to be missing the starters they have? For 3 weeks, they missed two starters plus one, and then for 2 weeks, they missed four starters. So, I mean, it's the job they've done down the stretch here is commendable for sure.
Yeah, and you knew Dan Rozelle before he got here, but and everybody deals with injuries. But, you know, they had young guys, they had some veterans, and the next thing you know, top two starters, top two weekend guys are gone. And I don't know how many other SEC teams. I know everybody has lost at least one, it seems. Who lost their Friday guy and their Saturday guy and yet played their best baseball at the end of the year?
That's exactly right. And, I think – Coach Rozelle, if you could name an assistant coach as SEC Coach of the Year, Dan would have my vote, because this pitching staff is still ranking in the top five of numerous categories in the SEC despite the losses and having to throw young and inexperienced pitchers in big spots. And also from a development standpoint, we've seen Mason Moore. He's no longer a freshman. This young man's pitching more like a sophomore. How about the stride that Magdy El Cotto has made from his first start at Jacksonville State to where he is now? He's working around traffic on the bases. He's throwing more strikes. He's getting outs in a more efficient manner. So we've seen these guys develop. Austin Strickland has had an up-and-down season, but he retooled his entire delivery. And after that, he started against Tennessee and went three scoreless innings.
Yeah.
So there's been development there, in addition to having to adjust to the injuries, and the job he's done has just been a phenomenal feat this year.
And then there's some things he can't control, and I love what you were telling me about Colby Frieda, another one of those young, really live arms freshmen, but he had to wait for a little bit warmer weather, didn't he?
Yeah, you know, he's from Florida. He's used to that warm weather and the humidity and the sunshine, and just talking to the folks that have been around this program for years, like you and Coach Madison and Doug Flynn, this has been one of the wettest, coldest baseball seasons we've had in years. That's not good for a guy like Frieda, who's from Florida. Now, all of a sudden, the last few weeks, the weather's finally warmed up, the sun's out shining, and this young man has been nearly untouchable in his last handful of outings. So maybe next spring, when we see more of Colby, we'll get better weather on the days he pitches.
I don't know if Kentucky, quite frankly, has enough to win the tournament. Anything can happen, as we all know. But, and oftentimes this tournament's maybe not wide open, but fairly open going in. And put aside, and you always do, your University of Tennessee background. But I tell you, and as you said, I've been around for a while, I got to go back to the David Price Vandy team to find a Tennessee team or find an SEC team that is this strong of a favorite. Although down the stretch, other teams have been coming on and playing some good baseball, but they've got the pitching to go with the offense on that Tennessee squad. This could be a really special year for Tennessee.
I totally agree. I don't know of another team in this league that has pitching depth that Tennessee does. If there is one team built to win the SEC tournament and its current design, it's Tennessee.
Yeah.
I just don't see another team in this league. Arkansas doesn't have the pitching depth like Tennessee does. The one team that I would not want to see in the postseason right now from the SEC is Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Jim Schlossnagel has done a tremendous job with that team. Nate Yeske, their pitching coach, has rounded that group. But even the Aggies, I don't think, have enough pitching depth to compete with Tennessee over the long haul of a week, because the X factor in all of this is that double elimination format.
Right.
You know, but I also think on some levels, like South Carolina did under Ray Tanner, if you're a team that's expecting to get to Omaha and that's your ultimate goal, How worried are you about trying to win the SEC tournament? Tennessee's going to be the number one seed no matter what.
Right.
So how much does Coach Vitello want to rest his pitching staff? And I know the competitor in Tony Vitello, he's going in there trying to win this tournament. But like, how much do you want to tax your pitching staff to win the SEC when you've got a bigger prize in front of you? And with the format of this tournament, that kind of creates that conundrum we've seen Ray Tanner said, I'd rather just go 0-2 and go home versus a guy like Skip Bertman at LSU or Tony Vitello saying, no, we're here to win this thing. We want all the trophies. I get it.
Yeah, and I got to think, and I know, and you've seen it, those Tennessee players reflect his personality. So I think they're going to be hungry to win that thing. And they're just confident enough to say, we can win both. We can win this one, and we can win in Omaha. And as I let you go, I'll tell you a team that I think has enough to maybe slip through if it can get one really good long pitching performance and has the bullpen, and that's Auburn. You know, and that's why it was so important for Kentucky. It's ironic. Kentucky beats Auburn, now has to play Auburn again. But Auburn really, really wanted to win that series and avoid and get into double elim down in Hoover. So that's why tonight's game is going to be fascinating. Darren Hedrick is the radio voice of the Baseball Wildcats. He will be along sometime this evening to give us pregame coverage and then pitch by pitch of Kentucky and Auburn tonight in the SEC baseball tournament. Enjoy your stay in Hoover. If it's in the same spot, I know where the ice cream case is, and you'll have plenty of time to get all the way down the right field line to help yourself.
I will be all over some ice cream now. Coach Madison, if he taught me anything, he taught me that baseball and ice cream go together like peas and carrots.
Very good. You're a veteran. Thank you, sir. Safe travels all week, and enjoy yourself down there.
Thanks for having me. We'll talk to you guys in just a few minutes.
That's Darren Hedrick, and I know where he's going to be positioned right behind home plate. There are four radio booths, two on top of each other, because you've got obviously the radio crews for the game that's going on, and then you've got guys setting up for the next one or the guys who had been involved prior to that. When Neil Price and I did all the games for two or three summers down there, two or three SEC tournaments, every game, every inning of every game, we were in the auxiliary press box way down the first baseline, behind first base, basically. It's a weird angle, but we had all kinds of room. There's very little airflow through the booth that Darren's in. I hope it's not too hot. Neil and I had great air conditioning, plenty of space, and the door to our booth was right across from the ice cream and right next to the soda dispenser. So we had a great spot. Weird angle to watch the game, but a great spot. So I hope Darren's able to keep cool and get to the ice cream. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to my guests. That's it. Good night from the garage in Lexington.
You're Darryl Strawberry.
Yes.
You play right field.
Yes.
I play right field, too.
So?
Well, are you better than me?
Well, I never met you, but yes.